for your presence this morning. And over here at the door, right here on the rail there, I got a flyer up there. It's Faith Baptist Church Community Cookout. Come enjoy some great food and fellowship with us. Here at Faith Baptist Church, all are welcome, so invite your friends, neighbors, co-workers, and everyone you can think of. We would look forward to be meeting with you. And it's Saturday, July the 19th, Faith Baptist Church. And we're going to start serving at 12:30, but the ladies is going to be here, and we're going to be here before that and preparing and everything. So y'all just come on out, each and every one of you. If you know of someone that maybe we cannot go by and see, or if we call them and we still can't get in touch with them, I say just let's get a flyer and just mail it to them. I know the post office still delivers mail. And you know something? I believe they'll open it, because they won't even have it. It won't have nothing, no return address, nothing on it. And they know it ain't a bill, because it ain't got no sale bill. So they'll open it, and maybe that'll help some. But we're doing all we can to try to get some people in church, get the lost in church, and where we can see souls saved for the kingdom, for the building up, the Lord's kingdom. Because I tell you, we don't have much time left. And what we do, we've got to do it now. We can't wait next week, next month, next year. We got to do it now. I believe that. But y'all come on. Each and every one of you, know anybody that's not in church? I mean, that's the one we were trying to reach, is the ones that's not in church, but still others, the ones that's already in church, the ones that saved Christians, you know, we just let them invite them. We can have fellowship. But I want to reiterate one thing. Members of this church, next Saturday, I would love for each and every one of you to wait until after the other people has come and after they've been served. Because that's who we trying to reach, is them. And if I don't get no hot dog or hot dogs, it doesn't make no difference. I know those hearties are still open. I can eat hearties this afternoon. Or my wife will fix me a hot dog at home. But just pick you up one over there, and if you know two or three people that used to be in church, they just got out of church or whatever, mail them one if you know the address. If you don't know the address, give me a call and I'll see if I can't find it out for you. You know the internet, a whole lot of people and a whole lot of preachers says, I don't like the internet. I wouldn't have it in my house. You can use that as a good source too for God's work, a good tool. There's a whole lot of people like here. They may think we don't know their address, but all we got to do is just get in there and Google it. I like Google. So all you got to do is just get in and Google it, and you can find out exactly where to live at. And on top of that, even Google's got a map. I mean, they got a map there where you can just get in your car and just take you right straight to the house. So I like the internet. All right, now, time to let's get in God's Word here this morning. But I think I may have touched on this subject here a while back, or maybe touched on a verse of scripture, especially there in verse 7 in Revelation chapter 19. But I'm going to start with verse 7, and I'm going to read down to verse 10. And I may read a little further, but I want to bring you a message today. The kind of wife that Christ wants his wife to be. The kind of wife that Christ wants his wife to be. Let us read in Revelation chapter 19, start with verse 7. All right. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were of a flaming fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of the Kings and Lord of Lords." Our Father, we want to thank you, Father, for this day that where we can be able to come out this morning, Father, and have fellowship one with another. Now, Lord Jesus, we just ask, Father, that you would just make yourself present this morning. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that the words that is upon thy lips this morning will drop and will fall upon these lips. That the words that comes forth from these lips will be the very words of God. Father, we ask, Lord, now the Holy Spirit, you have your right away within his service. You go about touching hearts, touching souls, Father. And we want you to just thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the ones that come out today. We pray, Father Jesus, that you may bless the heart, bless the soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Revelation 19 and verses 1 through 10, it speaks of the bride. It speaks of the bride of who? The bride of Christ. Jesus Christ He is the bridegroom, but we are the bride. We are the bride that he adores, and he loves us. And not only that, he takes care of us through each and every day. He doesn't want anything to happen to us. And I've heard people say, well, why does God permit this to happen? We have to look at it in this aspect, that when things come in our lives that we don't understand it, it's a reason for it. It's a reason for our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know over in the book of Genesis talking about faith and the temptations and all of that. Well, God said in verse 1 there in chapter 22 that God said, I tempted who? Abraham. But see, in the word there in tempt, if you go back to the Hebrew language, what does it say? It says test. What he's doing, he was testing Abraham's faith. When trials come our way, when things come in our lives that we don't understand, it's just testing our faith for him. And it brings us all a little closer. I was talking to an individual this past week, and they said, well, you know, I don't understand why a loving God like I serve and like you serve, I've just never got around to understanding this point, that why God loves me so much that he will allow conflict and he will allow things to come in my own life that I don't understand. And God loves me, I know that. But I don't understand why he does. Well, the reason he does is because he cares for you. That's just like when I was growing up. I lost my natural father. Blood birth, January the 1st, 1958. He got killed there in West Virginia by an elevator shaft. They're installing an elevator. But he got killed there. The only consolation that I can say is that I hope, and within my own soul, that he said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. But you know, so we don't have to come out verbally and say the sinner's prayer. We don't have to verbally say, well, God, if you're the God that you say that you are, you come down and you save my soul. No, all we have to do is breathe it. We just have to breathe the fresh air that he's given us of the words that will cause him to save us. You know, we're in a state today is what they call easy believism. And we hear about it more and more because everybody, you go out here and you invite to church. Yeah, I'm saved. Well, what church you go to? I don't go to church. I don't go to church. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I know where I'm going when I die. I said, you do? I says, my Bible teaches me that it teaches me in the book of Hebrews not forsaking our assemblies together. But it also tells us too over in the first book of John that we must come and have fellowship one with another. How can you have fellowship with a TV tube? You can't. I mean, I tried it. My wife and my daughter both went to church, was going to church that Sunday when I had my knee replacement, and I didn't get to go to church the first Sunday that I was out. So naturally, I come in to the den there, and I turned the TV on, and I was trying to you know, find a station that has some good preaching on it. But you know, you can go in and just turn the TV on. You can, I mean, you can hear all kinds of preaching on it. You can hear preaching from the devil, from a tadpole, from a rooftop. You can hear it all. But are you listening to the truth? We need to listen to the truth of what they're saying. Does it back up? And what you believe, does it back up what the Bible says? And I was in there that day and listening, and it was Jerry Falwell right before he died. And I was listening and everything, and I knew what he was preaching from. He was preaching from a King James Bible because I followed him in Scripture. But in saying all of that, when he gave the invitation time, the invitation time was open. The people come down forward in the front of the church, and it was people all along the front. And I got to thinking about what some of these people are here saying. Well, I can just get as much out of preaching at home as I can out of the church. I can have just as much fellowship with God at home and listen to the preaching than I can to come to church. And I got to thinking about that. And you know what I done? I guess I got up on my walker. And I got behind that walker, and I took the walker all the way up to the TV. And put my hand up there. I was thinking of the message. I love the message. I leaned up against it. My walker and everything, because I had it up there next to the table. I went up to the thing where the TV was. I leaned out, took both my arms, tried to wrap around the TV. I said, I love you. You think that TV come back and said, but I'm letting you go. No, it didn't. Yeah, I got some out of the message, but I didn't get nothing out of the fellowship. And that's where the house of God comes in. Where it's just for the Christians. It's not for the sinner to come in, but we do have sinners come in, and when they come in, yes, they can come down, they can fall on their knees or ask the pastor, can you lead me to the Lord? Yes, we can lead them to the Lord. But what the house of God is all about is to come in and worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's where love comes in at. If you love God, then you're His wife that loves Him. You love Him. You don't want to hurt Him. You don't want to do anything against Him. Peter saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, Peter, go feed my lambs. Go feed my sheep. A second time. He said three times, go feed my sheep. Now, Peter right here had never got to the place in the day of Pentecost. But what Jesus was trying to teach Peter there's coming a greater day for you. There's coming a greater day. Because it says over there in 13 in verse John 13. Some of you may even know the scripture that I'm going to turn to, but I'm going to read it because I can't memorize nothing. Can't hardly remember my name. But that's okay. God does. But it says right here, it says it's in verse 36, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. He's telling Peter, he says, Peter, just wait your time. Your time is coming. Then what happened? Peter preached one of the greatest messages that they ever been preached on the day of Pentecost. He preached. But then when you start saying, well, Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost, and then you had all the others there preaching, they was speaking in tongues and all that. No, they weren't speaking in tongues. They were speaking in their own language. That's what they was doing. They weren't speaking in their tongues. They were speaking in the other individual's language. But Peter, I believe Peter was grieved because the Lord asked him the third time, lovest thou me? That right there tells me one thing. That God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, many chances. Many chances to serve him. And we, you know, I don't understand how people can blaspheme the Holy Spirit in the way that they do, that they say that they're saved and won't come to church. That's dishonoring the Lord Jesus Christ. That is putting him down. That he don't know what he's doing. He don't know what he's written here in the book through the Holy Spirit. Hey, the men that wrote this book right here, and I know that this is not the original manuscript, and I would not tell nobody that it is, but I believe the King James Bible is the closest thing to the original manuscript for the English-speaking people.
Amen.
And two, I don't understand how they can take, well, this right here says that. Well, what about the other? They said, well, this says that. And then this over here says that. Well, I know two scriptures that says that Judas went and hung himself. And there's another scripture after that says, and go do likewise. What is he saying? That God is saying, you need to go hang yourself today. If you're going to take scripture out of context, well, you can go ahead and hang yourself, do likewise like Judas did. That's not what he means. You have to take it for what it's written, the way it's written, and where it's written at, in the Word of God, and who it's written to. But the wife is to be attractive. What are you talking about there, preacher? Where the wife is to be attractive. Well, it's not the physical attraction. Physical attraction is for the world, and it's not for Christ. Because Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not look on my physical appearance. He don't look at what I am on the outside. But he looks on what the heart is and the way the heart is feeling. He looks and he feels the intent of the individual's heart and how the heart feels and what the heart has the desire. And my desire, it's not because I'm preaching this morning, but my desire is always to be able to go out here and win someone to the Lord. For the first 2.5 years I was saved, I didn't go out here and visit. I went on visitation, yeah. And I'd go to the hospital and I'd visit for the pastor at that time when he was off, when he was at work, and when he had to go to Richmond and different places on his job, and he wouldn't be here. But what I didn't know what he was doing, and he was just asking me to go and visit him and just let him know that the church is thinking about him. That's what he was telling me. Well, see, I could tell you the same thing in the same way. But if you go and you go and visit someone, you visit that individual, or then if you go to the hospital and visit someone, or if you go visit someone else, then there's going to be a time when the Lord says, ask me, did you go to church in the morning? Or the same. I went out for the pastor at the hospital for about 6 to 8 months now, when he had to travel back and forth to Richmond. And he was in the National Guards. And he had to go because that was his job. Some of the people, they didn't understand it. Well, why didn't he just go on and retire from service? Yeah, he could have retired with 20 years of service. But at that time he had, I think it was 24 years of service. All he had to have was 6 more years of service. And he could have retired with 30 years. And he went on and he retired with 30 years of service. Instead of making him, hey, I don't know what all the ranks and everything is, but instead of making him up a general and everything, he ended up being the highest one. I think it was a colonel. I mean, he went as high as he could go as far as in his ranks. Just because of 6 years. And then he was doing what God wanted him to do anyhow. He was witnessing to the soldiers. He was witnessing to the National Guards. Why? Because the people in the National Guard knew what he was about. Knew what it was about. Why? Because he didn't preach to them. He didn't preach about, well, you need to get in church. You need to get saved. No. You know what he preached to them? He preached what his body was saying. He preached what his heart was saying that was coming forth from his mouth. He was preaching with his own life, love. Now some of you, or maybe not all of you, ain't ever heard. You've heard, probably all of you have heard of the saying that, well, some people, the only Bible that people will ever read will be our life. That's true. That's true. But when they pick up our life, when they pick out our life and they try to follow it and see what we're doing, they're going to turn the pages in our life. Well, I just wonder how they're going to handle this situation. Then the individual, they handle that situation like God would want it to handle. Then another situation will come available in the Christian's life that would be closer than what the last discouragement or situation came into life. It comes a little closer. It comes home. It's right in our own home. And they pick up on it. And they know about it. Because people talk. And when people talk, they hear about the negative. When people talk, they don't ever want to talk positive. But we need to be talking positive. Like I said Wednesday night, yes, we can be talking to an individual that's negative. But we that know Jesus Christ, we are positive in what we know and what is true. And we can be sitting there and talking to that negative individual there. The positive individual can be talking to that negative individual there. But what have you done when you sit down and you talk to that negative individual? A positive individual talks to a negative individual. What happens? You got your power source. You got your power source where the Holy Spirit can come in and do what He does. Why? Because that's what it takes. It takes the positive. It takes the negative. Just like I mentioned Wednesday night, you go ahead and you hook it better up to that cable. I mean, the cable to the positive all you want to. If you know, and you can even hook a negative, a ground cable to it, and you can take it and just put out here in the wind, let it ring. It ain't gonna crank. It's got to be grounded. Got to be grounded. And what happens if you take the positive and you hook it to the positive, which is usually to the starter, and then you take the negative post and you ground it to the body of the vehicle, then you get in your automobile, if the battery is good, turn the switch and it'll crank. But if you put two positive cables on there, it's not going to do a thing. That's just like two individuals out here. You take two Christians out here, yes, they can walk, they can go up downtown and everything else, but if they don't meet the negative individual, they have not done anything at all for God that day. It takes a positive and a negative. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Hallelujah. That is good, praise God. I mean, that's the first time I thought about that as far as in the human aspect, but it's the truth. And if you take the positive individual, and then you take the negative individual, the negative individual is going to give you all something negative. All what's wrong with the church, all what's wrong with the world. But then the positive is going to come back and tell you what. How good God is. How great God is. And how God loves them. And how God, when He was on the cross, He was still calling them His friends when He was on the cross. Then that's when you can get connected. You can get connected and you can then end up talking to them about the Lord. But we can't be negative. And a whole lot of times, many Christians are negative. And the way they go about inviting people or explaining the Scripture to our people. I used to be that way. I mean, I used to be head first. Are you saved? No. Why don't you get saved? I don't know. Were you going to hell? That's true. All that's true. What I just said is true. But I brought it up in a negative way. I didn't give them nothing positive about that. I brought it up in a negative way. What I should have told him, I should have told him, said, well, hey, guess what? God loves you. God the Son loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you. And I love you. That's what the bride of Christ is all about. Is love. What it's all about, the bride of Christ. That's what it's all about, a love. The bride of Christ. Speaking about the wife. What kind of wife does Christ want his wife to be? The same kind of wife that I would want my wife to be. I wouldn't want my wife just to be an individual, just go out here and just say, well, yeah, we've been married. We've been married, I think it's about 140 years now, it seems like. But you know, some say that's the meanest man I've seen in my life. I shouldn't even have married him. I knew better. My mama told me I shouldn't have done it, but I went on and done it anyhow. I thought I loved him, and I come to find out after been spending 2 or 3 days with him, I don't love him. I never did. You think a marriage like that's going to last? No. That's just like the same type of marriage that is married to Christ. It's not going to last if you just come in and say, I'm saved today, hallelujah. And then they don't never come back to church. They don't ever have fellowship with another Christian. Only ones they fellowship, I hear, is with the world, with the devil and his crowd. You think the marriage is going to last between him and the Lord Jesus? No, because I don't believe an individual like that has never been born again. That's me. And you say, well, you judge me. No, I'm not judging. I'm going by what the scripture said about the fruit that they must bear. Now, when me and my wife got married, she wouldn't have anything to do. She told me she loved me. How did I know she loved me? Because she was bearing the fruit that I told me she was going to bear. Same way with me. How does she know that I loved her? Because my affection and what I bow for her, the love for her. And by the way, this December we'll be married 43 years. To the first and to the only. Because the thing about it is, if I ever left her, I wouldn't even have to think about it, marrying somebody else. Because she'd be bringing probably flowers to my tombstone. Because she'd be no good flowers. And then they'd probably be dead flowers, but that's all right. They'd still be flowers. But you know, God knows all about us. And why do we try to keep it? We want to keep it from God. We can't keep nothing from God. And we think about, well, I don't believe it. Well, you know, we got more scholars, I hear, that knows more about what God thinks than what God ever intended. Other words, what I'm trying to say is in a nice way. That's what I'm saying in a nice way. What it is. We got more of the devil's crowd in the churches than what we think and what we believe. Straight is the way. Straight is the way. Then you got the narrow way. Then you got the broad way. Broad way is what leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to home, heaven. Why is it narrow? It's not going to be that many is going. I hate to say that. It's not that many going. What we need to continue to do, what we must do. Why? Because I'm his bride. I mean, I'm his wife. I'm the bridegroom. I mean, he's the bridegroom and I'm the bride. And I want to do everything I can to make him love me a little more. I want to do everything I can to where he's happy with my life. Can you say the same thing? Can all of us say the same thing? If we can, that's a blessing like that. Knowing that God loves us. I don't understand. I don't understand all the scripture. I don't understand why he won't allow me to be his footstool, to his soul, and heaven with him, that is his feet. I don't see what he sees in my life. I can't comprehend that. I don't understand that. But I'm sure glad that he don't look at my life same way about it. He looks at my life. Your life is just saved. That was just like, I think in the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to close with this, in the last couple of weeks, I think, I know of two deaths have been by drowning. One of them, where a young boy, I don't forget how old it was, but his father was on his shoulder. His father couldn't swim. And his father saw his own son. You know, what would I have done in that case? I don't know. Because I can't swim either. I'm making just jump and swim, make baby as far as hit maybe that communion table. But that's it. I'd panic. See, I don't know what I would do. I would hope that my Savior be right there with his hand. Nothing else. He teach me how to swim one time. Where I could go like that. And be a part of that. Where I could save my own child. Right. But an individual that knows that they cannot swim. They don't have. And I'm not saying that even God, I don't know if they. I don't know anything about it or nothing like that. But can you imagine somebody not knowing God and then seeing their own child running? Or seeing their own child in a wreck? That maybe that they could go over there. Maybe be able to pull them out of the car.
I don't know what I do. Neither do you. You hope and pray that you could get in and help them. But you don't know. You do need to be in that position. To be the face of the Lord. So we cannot condemn nobody. Our Father, we want to thank you for what you did for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord, that where you showed up this morning, we thank you. For every word that you've given, Lord. I know, Father, that you have come in this service today. But, Father, we invite you into this, all of our services. The door is never locked from thee, Father. And we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and speak for us. Now, Father, we do not know what's upon the individual's hearts this morning. Lord, but we do know the altar is open for them to come. Lord Jesus, and lay thy burden down upon the altar. And Father, that they can leave it there. I allow you to take control of it. I allow you to work through that burden. And Father, where we can go about doing it, the work that you intended for us to do. But Father, if we pick up a burden and we take it back with us, cannot work it out, because we're not going to allow you to work it out, because we have put it back up. So Father, help us that we can bring our burdens to thee this morning, and we can lay them at the altar. That you, Father, can take the burden. You can bless it. You can multiply it. You can do it. The impossible, we know. And we know that you are a positive God. Father, I do not think there's anyone here this morning that will say that they are negative. I pray that they have a negative thought. Anything at all about anything. We ask, Lord, that they will come and they will lay that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Turn to page
247.
247.
Jesus is coming.
We're so thankful, Lord, that you allow us to be in your house and to hear the precious word of God, Father. Father, we want to thank you for wife and I both have been under the weather for the last couple of weeks, and we haven't been able to go to church. We wouldn't go and give them the bad cough that we had. But Lord, here we pray, and you reach down and you touch us. And here we are here in church today, and want to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for each and every moment that he brings us, Lord, that we can worship you and service you. And Lord, thank you for the message this morning, Lord. Pray, God, that you just bless the gentleman in a special way, Lord. And Heavenly Father, the next service, I pray that you lay upon his heart a message that would stir each and every heart, that they would come forth and confess to Jesus that they slip along. We all will slip some through the week, Father God. We thank you for that. We might have an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus, and we let that opportunity slip by. But Father, lay upon our heart, if we get a chance to tell someone about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we will tell them. Father, tell them we never know when that we will bring them forth to accept Christ as their Savior. So we ask you to bless this little church, bless each one, God, and may each service and be improved, Father. We ask these in all things in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Amen.